WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The sawmill company in northern Wisconsin that had a workplace injury resulting in the death of a 16-year-old employee in June has agreed to pay a fine and comply with federal labor laws. The investigation into the teen's death at Florence Hardwoods found three other children were injured at the sawmill in recent years. The company also had children working outside of permitted hours and illegally operating machinery. Florence Hardwoods has agreed to pay almost $200,000 in penalties to the U.S. Department of Labor. A new package of bills in the state assembly seeks to improve conditions for workers in Wisconsin. Representative Katrina Shanklin says the package would not only help workers, but Wisconsin's labor shortage, too.
I think any time you raise wages and give workers a voice in the workplace, you're going to have workers want to go to that workplace.
The Workers First labor package is 10 bills. Among other things, they would restore collective bargaining for public employees and set up a uniform prevailing wage. Another Wisconsin man is charged with storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Nate Wegehout reports.
40-year-old Joseph Catani of Colgate, Wisconsin, faces two felony charges of civil disorder and assaulting officers. Court documents say he grabbed a Capitol Police officer's face shield and pulled his head around. He then entered the Capitol building and remained inside for about 20 minutes. Video of the riot shows Catani attacking the officer and entering the Capitol, and the complaint says he later confirmed that the video was of him. Catani also faces several misdemeanor charges. He is at least the 10th Wisconsin native to be charged for participating on January 6th. Nate Wickiehout, Civic Media News.
A top official in Wisconsin state government is on administrative leave. Terry Bell with more.
No one's saying why, since the investigation into Senate Chief Clerk Michael Queensland is still underway. The Journal Sentinel reports Queensland's access to state buildings was revoked on August 23rd. The Chief Clerk is a nonpartisan post that oversees administration and record keeping for the Senate. The Chief Clerk also serves as the Senate's parliamentarian and chief operating officer. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The wild rice harvest in Wisconsin is underway. Wild rice is central to Ojibwe culture in northern Wisconsin and many other native tribes throughout the state. The wild rice found in Wisconsin and Minnesota lakes, rivers, and other flowages cannot be found anywhere else in the world. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announced last week that harvest opportunities are limited this year due to drought conditions. A school bus and a city bus collided in Racine on Wednesday afternoon. The school bus was not transporting children at the time of the accident. Six people between the two buses had to be taken to the hospital. Local authorities are investigating the accident. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know. The shooting victim of a suspected road rage incident is in stable condition. The alleged shooter is dead. Authorities say 73-year-old Donald Lucero has been identified as the gunman who shot another man multiple times. The shooting took place in Lake Winneconne Park Tuesday afternoon around 1 p.m. The victim managed to drive himself to a dentist's office and was given first aid before being taken to the hospital. He is expected to recover. After shooting the victim, Lucero left the scene. There was a brief manhunt before police found Lucero in Washington County around 5 p.m. on Tuesday. He was allegedly killed in a single vehicle crash after a brief police chase. Manitowoc police are asking the public to help find a trespasser. Authorities say a man broke into St. Boniface Church at South 10th Street in Marshall. The suspect damaged several doors trying to enter the church. If you have information on the break-in, please call the Manitowoc Police Department.
Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Brewers are in the Bronx. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Yankees in New York. Catcher William Contreras says he'd like to stay with the team, but so far has not been offered an extension. Craig Counsell says that Contreras has become one of the team's most consistent hitters.
He's in a good streak right now for sure and feeling good. Feels like a chance for damage every time he's up and having really good at-bats.
Milwaukee now with just a two-game lead ahead of the Cubs in the NL Central Division after losing their last series in Pittsburgh. The crew will send Colin Ray to the mound against the Yankees' Luis Severino. First pitch at 6:05. College football, the Badgers head west to play Washington State. The Cougars won their opener 50-24 over Colorado State, showing a lot of speed on offense. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, I think this is going to be faster than what we've you know, been probably experiencing for the most part through spring and through fall. So the good news is we've gotten some work at it, but it's always different when all of a sudden you get, especially you go on the road, you get in a new environment, you get the anxiety of actual game. So those kinds of things are really critical.
Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. NFL, the Lions upset the Chiefs 21-20 last night. Lions head coach Dan Campbell on getting the win at Arrowhead.
This was a tough environment to come play in. And to that's why I'm excited, because I can't wait to get back to Ford Field. Because you know how loud that is. I know our place is going to be louder than this. I believe it with everything.
In Green Bay, the Packers' Romeo Doubs was back on the practice field for the first time after dealing with a hamstring injury. But Christian Watson was still out. The Packers face the Bears at Soldier Field in Chicago on Sunday, game time 3:25. In the offseason, the Bears picked up receiver DJ Moore in a trade with Carolina. Moore was a first-round pick for the Panthers. I asked defensive coordinator Joe Barry on what he sees on tape.
You know what he was in Carolina. You know him by reputation, but how exactly are they going to use him? Really good player. It's a guy that we're going to have our antennas on, because he's a guy that can change the game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like,
dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
What's up,
man?
What's your name?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, I stayed up a bit too late watching the end of that football game, but it's Friday. How are you, Earl?
Do you think you were the only one who stayed up watching it?
What the heck?
Hey, well, we got to introduce that guy who's on the other end. If you don't know by now, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, yeah. 21-20, and the Lions are the real deal.
It was an exciting football game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, football, NFL football is the number one sport for a reason. Entertainment value.
Well, and football is made for TV. I mean, it is a perfect sport for TV. Chatter in between, little time to as they reshuffle the deck between each play, and you can conjecture about what's next.
Yeah. you're gonna get at least a couple hours of it. And I'll tell you something. Detroit has not let's go to the phone lines right away. Mark from the SAC. Hey, good morning to you, Mark. How you doing, man? You saw the game?
I didn't see the game, but I did, going out poking through things this morning, I saw this Clutch Points has an article on Mahomes, I guess, and it's got a picture of him photoshopped that somebody's got a noose around his neck. They got a picture of it, got a gallows, you know, that somebody must have photoshopped his head into this picture. And I just think,
well, people are nuts.
I just can't figure it out.
Well, let me say this.
I mean, I can't put words to it. I mean, you probably have to go and take a look at it.
Well, I don't need to see
it. But, I mean, it is just...
Well, so people are nuts. The bottom line is Patrick Mahomes didn't cost them the game. You know, what's happened to Kansas City is they have not been able to hold on to players. Because when you pay one guy all this money,
yeah,
right, Sandy?
Well, yeah.
The other guys want some money.
Look at the Bengals. $275 million for five years.
Guaranteed $220 million.
Yeah. So that's going to cost them a lot of players in the next 5 years.
Well, and that's kind of what it's – how do you get around that, Sandy? Kansas City just won a Super Bowl.
Well, it's the genius. It is one of the geniuses of the NFL, because they've gotten – the country hooked on this process of everyone developing their own football teams,
right.
You know, and so everyone is a general manager out there now. and general managers, just like in baseball, general managers have become much more important in football, because they've got to be able to find some cheap talent to go with the very expensive talent they've got in the backfield.
So you're talking about the what do you call it, Calvin, where everybody...
Where you draft.
Yeah. What
people draft their football teams each weekend. And
Fantasy football.
Fantasy football.
There
yeah.
You,
Fantasy. I mean, yeah. NFL has become real life fantasy football every year. You know, you get a new team. It's like play. It's like on the playground. I was thinking, well, you lose the team spirit. But when I grew up, I played sandlot basketball and, right. and football and baseball. And as soon as you were on a new team, you wanted that team to win.
Absolutely.
And you were fighting and scraping to make it win. And that's the way the games are played. So that's okay. You know, I've decided that, yeah, the fans would like to see continuity of teams, but the team players themselves don't care that much.
Well, so listen, so the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year. Their defense is made up of first and second year players. They lost 70% of most of those players because those guys said, hey, I helped win that Super Bowl. Where's mine? Give me.
Yeah.
It's good to win the Super Bowl, but now I'm watching these other guys get all this money. Hey, where's mine?
Well, every guy who gets drafted in the first round in the fifth year of their contract gets so expensive that they'll be free agent, you know. Unless they're the mainstay of the team, they're going to move on to free agency. And, you know, they'll make big money themselves, but they'll be moving around.
Well, there'll never be another era, Sandy, like it was with, the Lombardi Packers.
Yeah, the Lombardi Packers. I can name those guys.
I can just about name all of them on offense and defense, including the lines, because they stayed together.
Right.
For a decade.
They also didn't make a lot of money.
No, they didn't make a lot of money. They stayed together for a decade, but now it's hard to even know who the guys are going to be because when you pay one guy all that money, the quarterbacks.
Yeah, same things happen in the NBA.
Yeah. So,
I can name the Cousy Celtics and the Willis Reed Knicks.
The Lakers.
And,
the Lakers.
The Lakers head
Jerry
team.
West and Pat Riley and those guys. But Elgin Baylor and those guys, but we're seeing it right now with Giannis.
Yeah.
Giannis is.
Well, to be honest with you, I think the guy that began this whole thing was Kareem. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
When
he went to the Lakers, that was one of the first times that a superstar jumped from a team that he was the mainstay of and was going to be the franchise for. And then he just jumped to the Lakers. And after that, that's what started happening.
But just getting back to the fact that football is back. And the quality of the game, Sandy, considering, first game.
Yeah.
Most of those guys, and this is why they're pros. Most of those guys didn't play at all in the preseason. But yet they were physically capable of going out and full hitting in a top flight game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys hadn't, most of them didn't play the preseason. They're all starters.
Yeah, but you look at what they went through in college. College is pretty high quality football now. And, I was thinking about that as well. And what it takes to get to the NFL and the athlete that you are and the football player you are. And I coached high school football for a while and realized that how very, very complex the game has become.
Right.
And how football smart young people are who are playing that game. Kids in high school have to know a great deal of complicated defense and offensive reads, et cetera. And by that, they get through college and it's gotten very sophisticated. So I think that the training that goes into these people that get to the NFL now is very extensive.
Well, Sandy, the best of the best of the best, baby.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is. And you talked about you coaching high school. You and I are going to be kind of doing a little black shirt play-by-play at Waukesha Football.
Yeah. Is that next week?
No, the 26th, I think it is. But we'll be announcing it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited about it, man. It'll be my first time behind the microphone. Let's see. You're going to do the play-by-play or I'm going to do the color? We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, I think we got to figure out who the players are.
I think that's the hardest
number
part. Number 51.
Yeah. Who is that guy?
Yeah.
But anyway, let's bring Tom in from L.A. Tom is a football guy. Hey, good morning, Tom. Did you see the game?
Hey, absolutely, Earl. First off, I need to say we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And I say that for anybody out there that believes that we are so far away from government. We are the government. Yes, I saw the game, loved the game. The only thing I didn't like about the game, and I hope to hell this is not a trend, is miking up the parents.
Oh, yeah, that was a bit ridiculous.
I felt like I was watching a junior high game.
Who
where
came
the father
up with
yells,
that?
Yay. I don't know. The father yells, yay. The wife looks like she doesn't really know what's going on. And it's like, first off, most, at least women in Wisconsin and women in other states do understand the game. So that was, I don't know. I just hope that this has not become a trend where they're trying to get more entertainment value and make it more into like a reality TV
show. Yeah, it really didn't matter what mom and dad was saying.
By miking up the parents.
And the sister.
Miking up whoever, look, and the sister. It's like, come on. All I could think of is these people are going to now start a reality show on one of those, you know, Kardashian things or something. And I just thought, can we just have football be football, please?
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for those words of wisdom. Sandy, did you get to see any of that?
I didn't see that, but I do. You know, what intrigues me now is the trend that's being set by the Manning brothers, with their Manning cast of the football games, and they are tremendously entertaining, smart guys about football. It's a very interesting process. Football, the number of personalities that have come out around football and continue with football, it does make it a very unique process.
So let me ask you this, Sandy, because I don't like this, the betting on football. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They've flooded everything now. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not a pro betting person. I think that I know enough people who've had betting be a serious problem for them.
Right.
And lots of people who bet money they shouldn't be spending on anything like betting.
But all the encouragement to bet, right?
And betting, and you know, it can go crazy. You know, you can go to a football game and you'll hear someone behind you and they're betting on the next play. They're betting on everything. It's like Muay Thai boxing in Thailand where they bet on the next punch. I think it's a crazy inclination, but there's, you know,
gold in them thy heels.
They go to where the money is.
Yeah, there's gold in them thy heels. And again, we've got to go to a break. Sandy and I have a lot to talk about. Oh, by the way, Sandy and I are going to be appearing at 8501 Campus Drive in Mount Pleasant tomorrow, Racine County Youth Expo. Really excited about having an opportunity to go hang out a little bit with some folk in Racine on tomorrow. So we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 66. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight, lows level off around 48. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 72. Temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the low 60s to the mid 60s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're alone and I'm just to sing this song for you.
I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, but girl, can't you see? There's no one more important to me, so darling, can't you please see through me? Cause we're alone now and I'm singing my song for you.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday. It's with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, the G20 summit without China and Russia. And I don't know, Sandy. I mean, are these things... today, are they as important
It isn't without China. Xi isn't in there.
Oh, right.
But China did send a representative there. So, but the main thing is, it's the heads of each country that go typically, and this will be the first one that Xi has missed. So it's a big deal that he's not there.
And Putin's not there.
And Putin's not there. And Putin wasn't there last year. Putin's economy. This is an economic conference. Putin's economy is the size of Italy, okay? It's not as big a world. It's 12th or 11th or 13th in terms of international ranking of GDP. But China's second. And, you know, it's a huge economy. And so the fact that it is kind of turning its side, if not its back, to this conference is suggestive of something. China's got a lot going on inside of its own economy. It troubles me, I think, when you were describing this headline before, it talks about, you know, Biden sort of having to spar with China. The notion that our news media and the government seems to have in mind is that whenever Biden and China are meeting, it's because it's an area of conflict. You know, we've got to spar with, contain, otherwise control China's economic status.
You know, even when we talk about China's economic status, Sandy, China is flooding the world with cars. Even as China's other exports falter, its car makers are seeing big increases in overseas sales, mainly for gasoline-powered models. At the time when many of China's exports are faltering and its consumers are spending less at home,
yeah,
the country is flooding the world with cars.
One of the places that's flooding the world is Russia. Russia can't get cars from anybody else, and so now they're getting cars from China hand over fist. And, you know, there is this talk about Russia possibly turning into a vassal state for China, and this is in one fashion the way it's happening.
But, you know, even but, if you – oh,
but,
go ahead.
Well, but no, but China's – in a position to be the manufacturer of cars for the world. And in fact, they're selling lots of cars in Germany now.
So listen to this. Chinese automakers have leaped to dominance in Russia since the war began in Ukraine, transporting cars by train. The companies have also captured the large shares of markets in Southeast Asia, Australia, South America, and Mexico. So and what they're doing now is building cargo ships to get those cars out as fast as they can. They've got so many, and they're making robust profits off of that. America can't compete with that.
Well, you know, we've concentrated on a Western market, right? And
yeah,
our view of the world has been the West, and China and Russia and this whole BRICS movement is basically to focus attention on the more populated part of the world, which is not the West. It's the South economy that it's being called. And the South economies, India, China, South American places, Brazil, Australia, all of that is accessible to China. And you know who buys cars? People.
Yeah.
And so, like, you why do you rob a bank? That's where the money is. Where do you sell cars? Where the people are. And what you just described is the very populated part of the world.
You know, Sandy, the other part of it is there, while we're trying to focus and ramp up on electric vehicles, they're focusing on gas.
No, they aren't focusing on gas. They just happen to be selling a lot of gas.
Yeah, oh, okay.
The electric EV industry is terrified that China will be the center of EV manufacturing. And in fact, BYD, a new company there, is selling more electric cars than Tesla in most markets.
So we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. You know,
singing my song for you.
Fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Hurricane Lee is way out in the Atlantic, but it's growing stronger. Now a monster Category 5 storm in the Atlantic with maximum sustained winds of 165 miles an hour. Lee is expected to trek between the Bahamas and Bermuda early next week.
Lee joins rare company. Only six hurricanes since the satellite era began have rapidly intensified as fast or faster than Lee. It put on 85 miles per hour in just the last 24 hours. So this is indeed a really intense hurricane.
ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee. Parts of the East Coast will see dangerous surf and rip currents. The G20 summit with leaders of the world's top 20 economies kicking off this weekend in New Delhi, India. President Biden landing this morning. China and Russia have opted not to send President Xi and Putin, raising fears the two are teaming up. In Britain today, the anniversary of the death of Queen Elizabeth II. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Tap those brakes, drivers. Brown County authorities are joining forces to make sure people are driving safely. Green Bay Police Chief Chris Davis says his department will partner with the Brown County Sheriff's Office, Ashwaubenon Public Safety, and the Wisconsin State Patrol to combat speeding, reckless driving, street racing, and driving while intoxicated. The initiative comes following a multitude of accidents and dangerous driving over the last few months. The coordinated effort is being funded by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Four people are in the hospital after a head-on crash in Door County. The two-car crash happened near the town of Forestville a little after 3 p.m. on Wednesday. A 2008 Honda Pilot driven by a 17-year-old collided with a 2003 Mazda 4-door with four passengers. All four occupants of the Mazda were taken to the hospital, one with serious injuries. There is no word on the condition of the 17-year-old. In Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Good song for us.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, the escalation, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, says that the migrant crisis is going to destroy New York City. 20,000 migrants were ready to go to school Monday, and they were from all over the country, all over the world, speaking all sorts of different languages, and they wanted to send their children to schools that weren't prepared to deal with them. Sandy, who's this is? Let's talk about the crises. Is the answer that Joe Biden didn't do what he was supposed to do? Is it that simple that Joe Biden opened up the borders and he should have left them closed like Donald Trump had?
The real facts is he didn't open the borders, okay? So that accusation is made, but I don't think it's borne out by the actual numbers of people that have come in over the years. The numbers of people crossing the border are not setting record levels under Biden, and he didn't. He didn't drop the rules and say every Katie bar the door, you're welcome. But the fact is that for more than 20 years, our Congress has known we have this problem. George Bush II started a commission, and whether it was 2002 or 2003, to work on a bipartisan solution. They came up with proposed legislation, and our Congress couldn't face it. They couldn't deal with it. We, for some reason, unbeknownst to me in terms of what the politics are exactly, but Congress has been in gridlock on this issue for decades. And meanwhile, the problem gets worse, festers. We've long been a place where people crossing our border and becoming Americans is the basic principle of our country. And we have to get a grip on it again. You know, we can't, number one, we don't want to bar immigrants. Number two, we don't want to set up an immigration policy that's inherently nativist.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that we've got some undercurrents associated with our migrant problem that are negative kinds of undercurrents in terms of trying to preserve an America that is a fictitious version of America.
You know, Sandy, it to me, we're at this crossroads. We need them. We honestly need these people to fill positions. Everybody knows it, but yet the argument is the Democrats want to bring them in to vote Democrat. It's bigger than that, isn't it?
Well, if the notion is that if people are poor, they vote Democrat, then yes, most of the immigrants, when they cross the border and become Americans, enter the lower half of the median income of Americans. And if that lower median half is more Democratic than Republican, I suppose Republicans have something to worry about. Maybe what they ought to do is start figuring out policies that are sympathetic to and are welcomed by people who fill these kinds of categories. Our version of partisanship in these days has become so kind of socioeconomic centric. We profile people. When we gerrymander maps, we can do that because our voting practices have become so socioeconomically predictable, because it apparently our parties appeal to very distinct socioeconomic categories. And both parties need to do a better job of broadening their base so that they don't have this worry.
You know, Sandy, the frightening aspect of this is what Mayor Adams said was that this migrant problem is going to destroy New York City. $4 billion is more than the budget for all their sanitation and all of those kinds of things. And yet, here in a short period of time, they've eclipsed that, and it just appears to me like Congress, even as they debate this and talk about it, not willing to do whatever is necessary to get this fixed, Sandy.
Yeah, well, maybe
because it's not just New York; it's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in some awful fashion, Governor Scott from Texas might have been right in that. Maybe the rest of the country needs to see it and experience the pinch that's created by a massive influx of people who are not fully indoctrinated into the country, fully assimilated, and need to be assimilated. Because there's no question that the assimilation of immigrants in a community takes a commitment from that community, and it's both financial and attention.
And that community then needs federal support because they can't, they don't have the budgets themselves to accommodate
right. it. And what needs to be understood, much like we view or should view education of our kids as being an investment by the community for the community, which ends up being very favorable and beneficial to the kids. I think too much in our world in America today, we view education as something we're presenting to our children, as something we're giving them, when in fact most countries view education as something that is beneficial to the community, because an educated community is beneficial and a good investment. And the kind of investment we're making in immigrants is the very same kind of investment, because immigrants are the first and second generation of immigrants are the most successful cohort in America, so long as we help them be that.
So Sandy, Congress is aware of this. As you stated, they've known it for a long, long time. And yet we see it. All of us see it. We can't get Congress to understand, the individual people to understand, that this is another crisis that is not going to fix itself. It's only going to get worse. And until they're able to work together to fix it?
Congress has always had a problem with immigration. The American public has always had an undercurrent of problem with immigration, and it has been based on nativism. It was most obvious at the time of what the so-called yellow peril, when we were building railroads with Chinese labor, and the way our society had trouble assimilating Chinese because they were different, right? They weren't Western European, and so we've had trouble assimilating even Western European groups. The Italians, the Irish, the Polish all felt backlash when they came to this country. But the people who come to this country who are not Western European have more trouble. And I think the main reason we're having a good deal of trouble today in America with immigration is because, quite frankly, the vast portion of immigrants who are coming to this country are not Western Europeans.
So your point is 100% accurate and valid, Sandy, but the times today demand that we get over that, because this country can't survive without them.
Well,
eventually, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to get a new self-image. When Americans look in the mirror, they think that what they'll see is a whole choir of white people behind
right.
them, Western Europeans, and they have to understand that that isn't America, and that isn't going to be the best America, and the best America is going to be very multicultural, which is what it's always been. It's always been multicultural, but with multiculturalism will come racial diversity, and instead of viewing that as a threat, like I think the people who are currently fighting immigration so fiercely, what they ought to do is be embracing it. The only thing that we have to be worried about is the numbers of people that we assimilate in a year, not where they come from, but what is the maximum number that we can adequately assimilate in a year, and then what do we do to make sure we do that efficiently and effectively?
So wouldn't it make sense then, Sandy, from my limited perspective and point of view on it, is these people we have here, they're here. Instead of holding them in abeyance, we've got all these jobs open, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, doesn't it make sense that we try to figure out something? Hey, they need all these people to work over here, you know, and businesses are shutting down because... And we're going to say, hey, we know we've got all these people here. The people have come to work, Sandy. To just leave those people and say, well, we got to leave them over here, and where are we going to get the assistance to feed them and do it? That just makes no sense to me.
Well, I just think we need to focus attention on doing the things that will provide the fuel to our economy. The fuel that I'm talking about is the workers that our economy needs. And there are multiple sources of them. Some of them are in our cities.
Right.
People who are not adequately trained right now or properly trained for the jobs that are available. We ought to roll up our sleeves and train those people. And we ought to as well be matching the immigrant population with the jobs that are available, because right now we have a bottleneck in our economy, particularly in the service economy. We know this. I've mentioned this before because it's happened to me now rather regularly. Have a plumbing problem in your house. Have a heating, ventilating, air conditioning problem in your house. See how long it takes to get someone to come there. And hear the story that's told to you by the service providers about how they're just understaffed. And, gosh, we wish we could get there today, but how about next week, Tuesday?
You know, Sandy, and many of these same people that we're talking about coming across the border are skilled in many different capacities. You see them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're working all throughout our country in jobs. I don't care if it's landscaping, if it's roofing, if it's drywalling.
Drywalling has been taken over.
And almost roofing as well.
Yeah.
So many of those people come here skilled, Sandy.
Yeah.
And we've got them standing on the sideline. And to me, the fact that there are people who say we don't want to incorporate them in because they're going to vote Democrat, that to me, that's just crazy.
Well, the faster they get jobs and the faster they earn money and move into the middle class, the more the Republicans will believe that they might be able to reach into it. There's no question that Republicans have begun to believe that the Spanish-speaking population can be not so dominated by Democratic Party affiliations.
Well, yes.
You know, and this has to do with, look, people don't think that Irish are necessarily Democrats. In fact, they probably are disproportionately not that now. But they used to be. You know, it used to be that the immigrant populations that came to this country and had blue-collar jobs were Democrats. But as they evolved into and assimilated into the economy and into society, their political posture became and profile became the same as everyone else's.
Do you think that's still part of our psychosis as baby boomers with that parochial way of thinking, and we still carry that with us, and maybe
absolutely,
you know, it's time for us to move beyond that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Make America Great Again for many people was that they thought America could be made to look and feel like the Ozzie and Harriet show on TV back in the 50s. It was that comfortable Western European-based Judeo-Christian culture.
Right.
That's what people even talk that way. That's how... And that's just a retrospective look at what America was, but we're evolving, and what we're evolving to is not going to endanger anybody's capacity to if they want to continue to thrive in a Judeo-Christian kind of a culture, but there's going to be parallel cultures along with them.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Tell y'all I'm gonna let the good time roll out. Well, it don't make no difference if you're young or old. All you got to do is get together and let the good time roll out. Yeah, no matter whether, rainy weather, if you wanna have a ball, you got to get yourself together. Oh, get yourself under control.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 66. Northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 48. Daytime highs approaching 72. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the low 60s to the mid 60s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Ray Charles doing this.
You know, I don't. This has to be
70s.
What, when he did this?
Yeah.
I think this had to be Sandy. I think in the late 50s.
50s.
Maybe
60s. Oh, 60s. I don't think he was around in the 50s. But
yeah. You know, but that's America and Ray Charles. And but anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, so many things that our nation is facing, and you and I, that's why I love having you on, we talk about it all of the time, and the things that we're facing aren't getting less, Sandy. They're growing. The issues that we are dealing with. Let's go to Ken. Hey, good morning, Ken. You say what, sir?
Yeah, good morning, Earl.
Good morning.
The housing shortage seems to be an issue. Is there anything in the Biden administration to address that?
Well, one of the things, Ken, about the housing shortage is that when the mortgage interest rates went up, most of the existing homeowners who have mortgages have very low interest mortgages. They got them during the period of very low interest mortgages, and they aren't interested now in selling their houses because they'll be having to move into a high interest mortgage when they buy their new house. So it's like golden handcuffs. And many homeowners today, it has started over the last year and a half or two, have decided not to sell their homes because of the cheap mortgage they hold and the expensive mortgage they would have to undertake to buy a new home. And so the housing shortage is not necessarily a shortage in homes. It's a shortage in the inventory of homes for sale. And the price of housing was going down. I think what brought this to your mind, I think the Wall Street Journal just reported that in the most recent month, the price of houses have started going up again, which is surprising because I think the people who have criticized, have wanted to criticize Bidenomics, one of the things they've said is that high mortgage rates are going to make buying houses impossible. But the fact is that apparently people are still buying homes, the price is going up, but it has a lot to do with the small inventory of homes.
No, I wasn't referring to that. I was referring to the immigrants. Currently, there's 1,500 at O'Hare Airport. They actually kicked the homeless Americans out to put the immigrants at O'Hare. There's 1,500. Next time you go to O'Hare, you'll see. I mean, yeah, there is a certain point. I agree. Immigrants belong. But I mean, how many currently under Biden administration? There's 2 million allowed per year. New York City is getting 110,000 a month. There's no housing for them. There's no.
Well, I mean, but New York City's getting 110,000 a month. That's 1,100,000 a year. So they're getting more than half of all the immigrants coming to the United States out of the 2 million.
Exactly. It's on the Washington Post.
Well, you know, does the Biden administration, the solution to this problem is going to lie with Congress, right? All that any administration has to offer is things that the government, the president can do by executive order. And there is a problem. And I think that the candidates will all agree that there is a problem with immigration. The question is, how will we get people to address it?
Go ahead, Ken.
There wasn't a problem when Trump was.
Oh, sure there was. Oh, there was definitely a problem when Trump, and the numbers were substantial. But and if we view the problem of immigration as solely being the southern border immigration problem, that isn't the sole problem. But apparently, when we talk about it, that's what everyone wants to focus upon.
Yeah, Ken, Sandy is right. There are problems with people coming across the northern border, and yet nobody's talking about that. And that border, is pretty porous itself. We're not focusing on that at all.
Well, I can understand people gnashing their hands about the immigration situation because. Just as Mayor Adams has described, it is a problem, and it's a problem of assimilation. And the question is, how do we get our hands around it? There's a problem in funding. There's a problem in funding with respect to staffing that's necessary at the southern border and how to deal with the people. We have laws in place, and then how do we implement the laws? Trump's main response to it was an executive order that was founded on the COVID crisis, okay? And he was able to create a power for the president, not out of the power that was delegated to him with respect to immigration, but out of the emergency powers that he had as the result of the COVID pandemic. And we don't have that COVID pandemic situation anymore. And when it dropped away, a bunch of the restrictions that were imposed dropped away.
We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Friday, that means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. So
far, spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesty.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with host Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.